Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 144, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord, who is my rock. He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skill for battle. He is my loving ally and my fortress, my tower of safety, my rescuer. He is my shield, and I take refuge in him. He makes the nations submit to me. O Lord, what are human beings that you should notice them? Mere mortals that you should think about them? For they are like a breath of air. Their days are like a passing shadow. Open the heavens, Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so they billow smoke. Hurl your lightning bolts and scatter your enemies. Shoot your arrows and confuse them. Reach down from heaven and rescue me. Rescue me from deep waters, from the power of my enemies. Their mouths are full of lies. They swear to tell the truth, but they lie instead. I will sing a new song to you, O God. I will sing your praises with a 10-stringed harp. For you grant victory to kings. You rescued your servant David from the fatal sword. Save me. Rescue me from the power of my enemies. Their mouths are full of lies. They swear to tell the truth, but they lie instead. May our sons flourish in their youth like well-nurtured plants. May our daughters be like graceful pillars carved to beautify a palace. May our barns be filled with crops of every kind. May the flocks of our fields multiply by the thousands, even tens of thousands. And may our oxen be loaded down with produce. May there be no enemy breaking through our walls, no going into captivity, no cries of alarm in our town squares. Yes, joyful are those who live like this. Joyful indeed are those whose God is the Lord. All of Psalm 144. Then looking in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Verses 10 to 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you once again, Father, for the wonderful and the powerful and the blessed gift of your word. Thank you for the truth that as we open your word and spend time with you one-on-one, that you're spending time molding and shaping us, helping us to become more and more like you, helping us to grow in our knowledge of you and your word and your will and your kingdom. Lord, set us on fire fresh of your Holy Spirit. Pour out your spirit of revival and renewal upon us. Lord, cause us to burn in the power and the fire of your Holy Spirit and use us to be bright, shining faithful ambassadors for your kingdom everywhere we go. Reach through us to set spiritual fires everywhere we go for your glory, for the building of your kingdom, and for the furthering of your light in the world. We thank you and we praise you. And Lord, thank you, Father, for your church. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of your church. Pour out revival afresh upon your church today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for this moment. And Father, first I want to ask you for more truth. Let us know, let us see your character. Let us know and let us see Jesus, Father. Father, I ask that you'd grow us in righteousness, that you'd lead us not to temptation, but you'd deliver us from evil, Father. I ask that you'd grow us in peace, your peace beyond all understanding, that you'd grow us in faith, Father, that you'd help us with our unbelief. Father, I ask that you'd grow us in knowing more about our salvation, Father, for us who believe in Jesus, that we would be protected and we would stand on your promises for salvation, Father. And Father, I ask that you'd grow us in going on the offensive in the Spirit, that we'd depend on you to bring life where there is not. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I continue to remind you that if you're wanting to get copies of articles that we share on the broadcast, simply email us. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And as we share from God's Word, I want to encourage you to make it your goal to always go back and read over those same passages again. You know, with any passage from the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, there's so much grace, power, and treasure to be found in any passage. And the more you read and meditate on it, the deeper the Holy Spirit can help you to dig, to draw out more of that treasure, that grace, that knowledge that will bless and empower you and further set you on fire to be a more effective vessel and servant in the hands of the Holy Spirit. So we certainly hope that you'll take the time to do that. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Today, we're looking specifically at this topic, the art of spiritual warfare. The best defense is an offense. Again, the art of spiritual warfare, the best defense is an offense. And you know, for believers that from time to time have the attitude is, I don't like the idea of talking about spiritual warfare. I don't want to talk about it, don't want to hear about it, so leave me alone. Like it or not, you deal with it every day. Even if you think you don't like talking about it, well, that's not very wise because like it or not, you run into warfare everywhere you go. Life is full of spiritual warfare everywhere. It's something you have to deal with as an individual believer. It's something that happens within the context of every marriage. It happens within the context of every home between parents and children. It happens at school and on the job and out in society, in government, in politics. There's warfare going on all around us. So it's important that we seek to, as Psalm 144 tells us, it uses the term, it basically the psalmist is saying to God, he's praying to God, Lord, teach my hands to war. Teach me to battle wisely, strategically, and victoriously. So we're wise to pray that way, to ask God to teach us how to battle in spiritual warfare victoriously. Because, again, we're going to deal with warfare every day of our lives. And so we want to look at a couple different servants of the Lord found specifically in the Word of God as we draw further on the topic of spiritual warfare. And again, looking at the truth that the best defense is an offense. To begin with, looking in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. These are the visions that Isaiah son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. He saw these visions during the years when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were kings of Judah. Listen, O heavens, pay attention, earth. This is what the Lord says. The children I raised and cared for have rebelled against me. Even an ox knows its owner, and a donkey recognizes its master's care. But Israel doesn't know its master. My people don't recognize my care for them. Oh, what a sinful nation they are, loaded down with a burden of guilt. They are evil people, corrupt children who have rejected the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel and turned their back on him. Why do you continue to invite punishment? Must you rebel forever? Your head is injured and your heart is sick. You are battered from head to foot, covered with bruises, welts, and infected wounds, without any soothing ointments or bandages. Your country lies in ruins, and your towns are burned. Foreigners plunder your fields before your eyes and destroy everything they see. Beautiful Jerusalem stands abandoned, like a watchman's shelter in a vineyard, like a lean-to in a cucumber field after the harvest, like a helpless city under siege. If the Lord of Heaven's armies had not spared a few of us, we would have been wiped out like Sodom, destroyed like Gomorrah. Listen to the Lord, you leaders of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I'm sick of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgusts me. As for your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath, and your special days for fasting, they are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. They are a burden to me. I cannot stand them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are like red crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. See how Jerusalem, once so faithful, has become a prostitute? Once the home of justice and righteousness, she is now filled with murderers. Once like pure silver, you have become like worthless slag. Once so pure, you are now like water. You are now like watered-down wine. Your leaders are rebels, the companions of thieves. All of them love bribes and demand payoffs, but they refuse to defend the cause of orphans or fight for the rights of widows. Therefore, the Lord of Heaven's armies, the Mighty One of Israel, says, I will take revenge on my enemies and pay back my foes. I will raise my fist against you. I will melt you down and skim off your slag. I will remove all your impurities. Then I will give you good judges again and wise counselors like you used to have. Then Jerusalem will again be called the home of justice and the faithful city. Zion will be restored by justice. Those who repent will be revived by righteousness. But rebels and sinners will be completely destroyed, and those who desert the Lord will be consumed. You will be ashamed of your idol worship in groves of sacred oaks. You will blush because you worshiped in gardens dedicated to idols. You will be like a great tree with withered leaves, like a garden without water. The strongest among you will despair like straw. Their evil deeds will be like the spark that sets it on fire. They and their evil works will burn up together, and no one will be able to put out the fire. All of Isaiah chapter 1. We'll be right back.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain.
It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this. It's all God's children singing glory, glory.
Music from Newsboys with He Reigns. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the art of spiritual warfare. The best defense is an offense. And we're looking largely at the lives of two of God's great servants from the Old Testament, specifically the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Jonah as well. Just read Isaiah chapter 1, and now we're going to read Jonah chapter 1. Picking up at verse 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. Oh, why did you do it? They groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop this storm? Throw me into the sea, Jonah said, and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. O Lord, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death, O Lord. For you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Then the sailors picked up Jonah and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. the sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. All of Jonah, chapter 1. Again today, we're looking at the topic, the art of spiritual warfare. The best defense is an offense. And here, we're looking at two key servants from the Old Testament, two servants of God, two prophets, the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Jonah. And just a number of interesting things about them. And of course, Old Testament prophets in many ways had sometimes often had very tough lives. When you look at them as a whole, you see that they went through great hardship as they served God and followed God and as they were vessels through which the Spirit of God would work. And so Isaiah, certainly when you learn about all the trials and the challenges he went through, Isaiah really went, he was put through the wringer. And we see here too Jonah. Jonah too, he goes through some difficulties. Now, in Jonah's case, a number of his problems came because of his disobedience. But let's look at the lives of these two prophets. Both of them called by God, both of them anointed by God to speak his truth, to be his vessels, to be his servants. Yet we see two major contrasts between the two of them. As we look at the life of Jonah, we see Jonah was called by God to go to preach to the city of Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to do that. He didn't like the people of Nineveh. In fact, he realized they were enemies to Israel, and he didn't like that. And so he really wanted to see the people of Nineveh to get zapped. He wanted to see them be punished. But the fact is, we serve a God that is a merciful Heavenly Father, and God loves all people everywhere. He desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So he sends Jonah to Nineveh, but Jonah refuses initially to go. He disobeys and goes in the opposite direction. Well, God sends out a storm on the sea where Jonah is in the sea where Jonah is traveling on a ship, and the ship is caught up in that storm, and the sailors are terrified. And initially they're trying to figure out whose fault this was, and they come to realize it was Jonah's fault. And after they throw him overboard, they see the sea became very calm, and they decided they were going to put their trust in the same God that Jonah knew as well. Well, if you read the book of Jonah, you find that Jonah has been swallowed by a fish. Jonah prays to God from the fish. Jonah repents, and God forgives Jonah and gives him a second chance. And so the fish vomits Jonah out on dry ground, and Jonah goes to Nineveh and preaches the message God gave him. And the city does, in fact, repent. And the final chapter, chapter 4, tells of how that Jonah is actually going and sitting, hoping that judgment will come to the Ninevites. But as it turns out, the city has repented as a result of God's working through through Jonah's mighty preaching, his anointed preaching. The city does, in fact, repent, and God spares them from judgment at this point in their history. But Jonah was still, looks like, even to the final chapter, looks like Jonah didn't have the best attitude. He really didn't have the best of attitudes, but God used him anyhow. God used him. But then we look at the servant Isaiah. Isaiah, who is a servant who served under several kings, and he served over a number of different times of administrations of different kings, of kings who served in Judah and Israel as well. And so, but a major contrast is, again, note, Jonah finally did obey God. But you might say Jonah sort of went kicking and screaming. Jonah really didn't want to do it, but he finally did obey, kind of reluctantly, but he did obey God. On the other hand, Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, it beautifully points out some wonderful things about Isaiah and his attitude and his approach to the ministry God has called him to. Isaiah chapter 6 refers specifically to Isaiah's being called by God into ministry. Isaiah 6, picking up at verse 1, reading verses 1 to 8, it tells us this. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, Holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongues. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am, send me. Verses 1 through 8, Isaiah chapter 6. So here we see Isaiah, God in his grace has given Isaiah a powerful and a wonderful vision of heaven. God allows Isaiah to see into the throne room of heaven, the strategy room of heaven as well, you might say, where God is meeting with his staff. And Isaiah sees a wonderful scene in the throne room of heaven, and he's undone. He's overcome by his sin, but God cleanses Isaiah. And after that, God asks a powerful question. God asks the question, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? God asks those two questions. And here, though Isaiah is looking into a vision that God has graciously allowed him to see into, Isaiah decides just to shout out loud. And his response to God's question, here I am, send me. What a wonderful attitude to God, your relationship with God, and your understanding of ministry. Isaiah, in the grace and the wisdom of God, responds to God's question with a response and a prayer. Here I am, send me. It's a wonderful response, and it's a prayer. And you and I are wise to pray the same prayer Isaiah prayed. Lord, here I am, send me to do your will. Why is that an important prayer? You're letting God know, God, use me. I'm available. Use me for your glory. Use me to do your will. Do you know God is looking for servants that want to be used? In looking at the life of Isaiah and Jonah, both of them anointed servants of the Lord, but God desires his servants to have the same attitude that Isaiah had, one where you cry out on a daily basis, Lord, here I am, send me to do your will. Now you might think, well, doesn't God want to use all his servants? Do we have to ask? Well, that's a part of the mystery, but the reality is, yes, we do need to ask. Now, God has already commissioned us to go into all the world and make disciples. But you know, God has a lot of servants that aren't going much of anywhere. There's a lot they're just not doing. But we're called to function in obedience to God. And when you live a life obedient to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you're living life on offense. And the fact is, that's the proper way for the kingdom of God to be built, always on offense. We're to be seeking God for direction, listening to him by his word and his spirit, and simply living a life of obedience. And on a daily basis, you and I are wise to pray a prayer like Isaiah. Here I am today, Lord. Lord, send me this day to do your will. And you know what? God will answer that prayer every time you pray it. Why will he do that? Because again, the word of God is the will of God. And when you pray the will of God, God will always answer that prayer. God is looking for servants that want to be used. Now, again, God used Jonah and Isaiah, both of them, mightily. But note some important differences. Jonah went, but he kind of, as I said, sort of went kicking and screaming, didn't have the best of attitudes. How many chapters in the book of Jonah? 4 chapters. Isaiah asked to be used. He was called of God, and he prayed to God, here I am, Lord, send me. How many chapters in the book of Isaiah? 66 chapters. And note this too, Isaiah has 66 chapters in his book, and the whole Bible has 66 books in the Bible. The first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah correspond powerfully to the Old Testament. And the last 27 chapters of the book of Isaiah correspond powerfully and wonderfully to the New Testament. God used Isaiah through several administrations, through the administration of several different kings. God got a lot of mileage out of Isaiah. Why do you think that happened? Isaiah asked. You and I are wise to pray the prayer Isaiah every day over our lives and pray the prayer of Jabez over our lives every day as well. Because you know what? Again, God is looking for servants that want to be used. And when we're wise enough to pray and ask God to use us, God puts us on offense. And yes, he will use you. He'll use you to do things he doesn't manage to get to use some of his other servants to do. Why? Because you have asked. Because in God's grace and mercy, you were wise enough to ask. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give all of us as servants to be used mightily by you. And thank you for the opportunity to be available vessels. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer, prayer that would encourage us to daily ask to be used more and more like Isaiah and like the prayer of Jabez. We're asking, Lord, to use us to expand our territory, to increase our fruitfulness. Help us to do that, Lord. Here we are today, Lord. We're available. Send us this day on many miracle missions. Lord, thank you for each and every one of us and those we've lifted up in prayer and all of our listeners. Bless each and every one of us indeed. Expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon each one of us. Keep each one of us from evil that we may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today, as we look today at the topic, the art of spiritual warfare, the best defense is an offense. We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
The music of Michael W. Smith with Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the art of spiritual warfare. The best defense is an offense. And we've been looking somewhat at the life of two servants of the Lord from the Old Testament, Isaiah and Jonah. And again, we note that Jonah obeyed God finally. Initially, he disobeyed. Initially, he didn't obey God. Initially, he disobeyed and ended up being disciplined for that. But he finally repented. God gave him another chance, and he did go back and preach to Nineveh. Nineveh did experience a revival. They repented of their sin, and God gave them another opportunity to serve him and to live a life that honors him. And God did use Jonah mightily. But again, Jonah's attitude wasn't the best. On the other hand, Isaiah, when presented with the opportunity, in fact, when asked the question, who will go for me? Can we send? Isaiah responded in a vision, here am I, Lord, send me. Our encouragement to every single listener is make it your goal to pray the prayer of Isaiah every day over your life. Why? Again, because God is looking for servants that want to be used. If you and I are wise enough to pray a prayer like the prayer of Isaiah every day and to pray a prayer like the prayer of Jabez every day, and of course, the prayer of Jabez is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. When we pray those prayers daily, God will always answer them for this reason. He's looking for servants that want to be used. And what will happen as a result? You'll hear the Spirit of God speak to you more clearly and more loudly about tasks that God wants to get done. God has many things in the course of any of our days that he wants to get done. Sometimes he may tell you, call such and such a person, give to such and such a person, go see such and such an individual, pray for this person, do this or do that. God has work, so much work to be done. And in a sense, you might say he has a backlog of work to be done. He has a backlog of work to be done in a sense because he has a lot of children that really aren't asking to be used or are not listening. So when he finds a servant that will ask to be used and will listen, God will use them wonderfully. So my encouragement is make it your goal to be a holy asker. Like Isaiah, like Jabez, pray those prayers daily because God has so much work to be done. And when he tells you what to do, do it. Don't decide, well, Lord, that's not what I had in mind. Tell me something else. No, we're to be obedient because God knows exactly what he's calling and needing you to do. We're wise to have a yes, Lord attitude. Again, we're talking again about, we're looking at the topic, the art of spiritual warfare, the best defense is an offense, living a life. Well, it's important to understand this. A life on offense spiritually in the kingdom of God is a life where you have a lifestyle of listening to God and obeying him. Listening and obeying him. I want to take time now to share an article entitled God's Word, 3 chapters a day. And our hope is that it will encourage you to be a diligent student of God's Word, because one of the great ways whereby, of course, we hear the heart and the mind of God is as we're diligent students of God's Word. Every believer is called to be a diligent student of God's Word, and we regularly encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every day. And if you decide that's not enough and you want to do more, wonderful. But let's take time now. Again, this article, God's Word, 3 chapters a day. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Again, Psalm 119, verse 105. Then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Again, Hebrews 4:12. Practicing daily spiritual habits are necessary in our daily walk with the Lord. Why? Because followers of Christ are to be passionately faithful. In life, we form habits to help us consistently to do things that are important to us in our lives. Habits that help us accomplish the goals we believe are critical to our lives. I pretty regularly encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in God's Word every day in their lives. This habit is one of the most important to establish. Why 3 chapters a day and why every day? If a believer reads at least 3 chapters in God's Word every day, that can be a basic spiritual meal to feed his or her spirit. It might be that you read the same chapter 3 times, or you may read 3 different chapters. Doing either is fruitful and wise. How is this helpful? The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So when you're reading the Word of God, it's one-on-one time talking with and spending time with the Lord Jesus himself. It's your daily appointment time with him. The Lord Jesus will spend as much time with you as you'll spend with him in his word. It's important for us to read the word of God every day. Just as our bodies need physical food every day, so too we must feed our spirits every day. God's word is food for our spirits like physical food is food for our physical bodies. Feeding your physical body every day can help you to be strong, vibrant, and healthy. Feeding your spirit the word of God daily can help you to become strong, vibrant, and spiritually healthy. Now, if a man or woman only ate a small snack once every other day, very soon he or she would grow physically weak. Likewise, when a believer only reads a verse or two from the Word of God every day or every other day, he or she will become spiritually weak as well. Sadly, it appears that too many believers live on what you might call a starvation diet spiritually. It's spiritual neglect, to be quite honest. Too many believers may not even pick up a Bible for days. It's for this reason that many believers are spiritually anemic, spiritually weak and frail. My suggestion to you is today, start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in God's Word every day. It's a way of blessing and rewarding yourself. See Psalm chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Why not start rewarding yourself today? Here are 10 great reasons to start reading God's Word every single day. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. See John 3:16. Psalm 119, verse 105, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Philippians 4, 6 and 7. A second reason to read God's Word daily is it gives you clear guidance and direction for your life. See Psalm 119, verse 105, and 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 17. A third reason to read the Word daily, it empowers your prayer life. See Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Number four, reading the Word daily sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Number five, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. See Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 22. Number six, a sixth reason to read the Word daily, it helps you maintain your mental health. Number seven, it increases God's anointing on every area of your life. See 1 Corinthians 1, 5. Number eight, it increases your wisdom in every area of life. See Proverbs chapters 1 through 3. A ninth reason to read the Word daily, it enhances your intellect and your personality. It literally can increase your IQ. See 1 Corinthians 1, 5. And then a tenth reason to read God's Word daily is because it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. See 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Timothy 1, 2, 2 Timothy 1, 2, and Galatians 5, 22. Reading three chapters a day from the Word of God will bless you tremendously. Let's make it a high priority. And parents, we're wise to have our children read three chapters out loud to us every day also. It will greatly bless them, you, and your home. Again, the title of that article, God's Word, Three Chapters a Day. Keep in mind, when you're sitting, reading, and meditating on the Word of God, Yes, that's spiritual warfare. You're doing battle with the kingdom of darkness when you're reading and meditating on God's Word. Now, some might say, well, that seems like a very passive activity and doesn't seem overly active. Don't let that fool you at all. One of the most powerful things any believer can do is read and meditate on the powerful Word of God. Because as you do, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and the Holy Spirit are equipping you. They're putting the armor of God on you. They're empowering you. They're molding and shaping you to become more and more like Jesus. It's a tremendously productive act of spiritual warfare where you, yes, in fact, you are battling the darkness when you're reading and meditating on God's Word. And the need for it is so great because too many believers are extremely negligent in this area, doing many other things, but one of the most important things a believer can do in life is spend time reading and meditating on God's Word, consuming the light of God's Word, the power, the wisdom, the grace, the knowledge of God found in the Word of God. And let me say to parents, having your child read the Word of God out loud to you every day is so productive. You don't understand all the wonderful and the powerful and the fruitful things that will happen in the heart and the mind of your child as he or she is consuming the Word of God every day, but you don't have to understand it. Just do it. And the blessings will follow in the life of your child. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the many ways your Word blesses us and empowers us and equips us as we read and meditate on it every day. Help us to recognize, Lord, that as we're living a life that's full of spiritual warfare, help us to know that in the midst of the warfare we deal with every day, as we simply take the time to read and meditate on your Word, so many good things happen in us and through us as you and your Spirit are working on us and molding us and equipping us and shaping us during that time. And help us to be mindful, Lord, too, that, again, the best defense spiritually is an offense. And help us to know that, yes, it's a great offensive weapon to read and meditate in your Word. And help us, Lord, also to be mindful that putting your Word to work in the other ways is so fruitful. Help us to know, Lord, that every day we're wise to read your Word, to hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. And help us to know that as we use your Word in all these ways, all of these are ways whereby we're on the offense in your kingdom, building your kingdom and tearing down the kingdom of darkness. Help us to know, Lord, that your Word, which is the sword of the Spirit, is the most powerful weapon in the universe. And help us to be wise enough to use it and put it to work in our lives every single day. And help us to make it a high priority to help our children fill their hearts and their minds with your Word every day. Help us to be wise enough to fill our homes with your Word every day. And help us to be mindful, Lord, that your Word releases the Spirit of God to work wonderfully in our homes as we allow it to happen, allow it to be at work in our homes. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never made the wonderfully important step of asking Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior and save you and make you brand new, today is a great day, a good day to make that step. If you'd like to commit your life to Christ and be saved, would you from your heart pray this prayer with me right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. I've sinned in many areas of life, Lord. I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to connect with you today. I want to remind you, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We definitely want to get into your possession literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and grow vibrant in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch with us again, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to get that information and those resources to you. We hope to hear from you again, joseph@afr.net. You want to get a copy of the article we shared earlier, God's Word, 3 Chapters a Day is the title. Again, God's Word, 3 Chapters a Day. Same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.